katoa. Anahila kanongata asuisui ki. Welcome. You are with Anahila on Well with Anahila, the Labourist Member of Parliament based in Papakura in Tāmaki. Our talanoa is usually with women about well-being. Although our guest today is from West Auckland and Māngere, we can just say that they're the neighbourhood to Papakura. I'd like to welcome Latavia, Taiopo, Naere, June, Anastasia, Tuasia, Tautai. Yeah, that's all of Latavia's full name, but today we'll call her Latavia. Latavia, welcome to Well With Anahila. So, Latavia, this is the second talanoa that we've had, so hopefully our listeners have already got that introduction on who you are, but I think I'll do a quick one. So, Latavia is 21 years old. She is a student of the University of Auckland, and she was a person who was part of the Welfare Expert Advisory Group, and today I think we'll do a talanoa about that piece of work that you were in. Awesome. And since it's the well-being budget that's been announced by the government, maybe you can share some insights into what that looks like for young people and then the work that you've done with the Welfare Expert Advisory Group. And of course, you were the 2018 New Zealand Youth Award in terms of leadership. I know that next week the Honourable Penny Henare is going to have the awards again.
Yes.
So it would have been a year since you have been a person. When I say next week, I'm talking about June the 17th. If this airs after that, then it's June the 24th. If it airs after that, then hey, well, I got my dates wrong, but all good. Yeah. Latavia, welcome to Well With Anahila. So, tell us about your work in the Welfare Expert Advisory Group.
Yep, I was really privileged to be a part of the group.
In there? Yeah.
I know, right? I'm so blessed with an incredible opportunity. So it was a group of 11 people, so 10 members and one special advisor.
Mm.
So the group was really diverse. It was made up of community activists, university lecturers, people involved in social enterprises and social groups, people in the disability sector, LGBTQ, just a really diverse range of skills and knowledge.
Were you the youth voice?
Yeah, so I was the youngest person by about 20 or 30 years.
Oh.
So they used to always say I was the youngest. I was like, come on, guys, I'm also the prettiest. Kidding, just joking.
Yeah.
It was an awesome opportunity. So my reasoning for being on the group and my passion for the welfare system really comes from growing up raised by a single mum on the benefit. So my mum, for health reasons and mental health reasons, wasn't able to work for most of my childhood and upbringing. So we grew up in a state house. You know, my mum paid $10 a week so I could attend St. Dominic's College. I didn't tell anyone about the poverty I was growing up in, because although we didn't grow up with much material things, there was a lot of love in my household, which is a truth for a lot of people. But I think growing up in that situation, I could understand and actually have lived experience of how hard it is to grow up living under the poverty line and living under what New Zealand considers to be severe poverty.
They're talking about you.
It hurts. It hurts, you know. The kind of narrative around welfare has really moved to one that's being really punitive. And that's what we see in all of the Facebook comments and all of the Mike Hoskins kind of comments. It's around how these people are choosing to be poor. People don't choose to be poor. And people don't choose for their children to be poor. There's cycles of poverty. And I've been lucky enough to have the privilege and the opportunity to break that cycle. But for me, I want to be a part of alleviating that for other young people and other children so that these cycles stop. So it was an awesome opportunity to be a part of this group, kind of a once-in-a-generation chance.
I know you're passionate to move on, but I just want to go back to your mum. So your mum was a single parent or only kids?
It was just me, my mum, and my brother. My dad passed from leukemia when I was younger.
You lived in a state house in West Auckland. I gather that St. Dominic's is a private school.
It's a state integrated school.
Oh, state integrated.
So decile 5, but I was always in the a bit nerdy, so I was always in the top academic classes. But that also meant I was in the classes with people with a lot of privilege. I was the only Pacific person in those classes.
Okay.
And even my classmates used to talk about the benefit and talk about these welfare bludges without knowing that that was my upbringing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I think, Yeah, it's just not having the awareness, eh?
Yeah.
Well, you probably didn't go around advertising that you live in a state house and you're what the people are talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell anyone my whole time through school. I think for me it was more of a... I didn't want anyone to look down on me, and I didn't want anyone to say that I got things out of pity and sympathy. But I think now having the understanding that I do, understanding the statistics and how hard it is to achieve in those circumstances, I think I should have owned that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're young and you don't know any better.
Well, if the majority of the group, you just want to be like the group.
Yeah, exactly.
And you wouldn't want people to pick on you because you're different. Yeah. Okay, so we were probably 20 at the time. Because you recently turned 21.
Yeah.
So you're 20, the youngest by that much.
Yeah.
And how did you communicate with these people? Did you have time to voice your opinion?
Yeah. So,
11 member committee and you were the youngest?
Yeah. Yeah. So we had meetings, like regular meetings as well, which were an awesome opportunity as well. So you shared your opinions through that and through like a secretariat and you know, really confidential processes. But it was a really like complex and difficult process, you know, being 20 and I was studying full time as well.
Yeah.
But we also, what I loved most about it was being able to engage with community. So we went around New Zealand and engaged with employers, service providers and people in the welfare system living, you know, receiving main benefits.
Yeah.
So for me that was both really emotional and really grounding as well, because it reminded me of my upbringing, but it also was a really important reminder of who we're accountable to, you know, and it's all of our communities. Most people will be affected by welfare or know someone affected by welfare and poverty in their lives. So I think it's really important that we care about one another. And I'm really happy with the piece of work that came out. I think it's really important for our government to take notice of it and to stand by it. There's a lot of money that's been put into it, a lot of voices, a lot of... and I know that it's going to take a big shift in the narrative, but I think implementing a lot of that advice would set a precedent for how we should treat people our most marginalised.
Yeah. So what's your, I know it's a big report and it had a lot of recommendations.
Yeah.
So what would be one thing that you're most proud of in that report? I know it's
There are 42 big recommendations.
And what's one thing that you're most proud of and that you think your voice was heard in those recommendations?
Yeah, so we have so our recommendation around Pacific people, so the need for services, service providers and our welfare system to culturally respond to Pacific people is one of our recommendations. That's something I'm really proud of. I think because it says right there how important Pasifika people are, and especially how important it is to uplift our most marginalised Pacific people. And rather than having like just culturally competent resources, you want people who are culturally responsive.
Yeah. You know? So I know last time we had our first conversation, you talk about the environment at university not reflecting. So now that we're coming to this piece of work in terms of engaging and delivering a service for Pacific people, that's also coming out.
It's really awesome.
The importance of that.
And the highlighting Maori people is, you know, our tangata whenua is really important and a really strong theme in the report as well, because if we don't get it right for Māori, we'll never get it right for Pasifika. You know, we need to get it right for our Indigenous, and then all other migrant communities will flourish as well. I'm just really proud of the whole report. I think it's really mana enhancing and just really reflective of the group's values. And we also wouldn't have everyone on the group wasn't really not everyone on the group is really, you know, hearty left, but you know, so it was awesome to have different perspectives and on it too, because this is, you know, those kind of policies and politics is all about being accountable to the people, you know, and what the people are saying.
Absolutely. So has young people asked you about that know your involvement in the welfare advisory I think we just call it WEAG.
WEAG.
So what do young people say about, what are they saying about that report? Have they read it? Do they know anything about it?
A couple of my really close friends have read it. And a couple of my friends who grew up you know, with dependent and families and households dependent on welfare of Reddit. Yeah. And they're really happy with it. And for me, that really resonates with me. That's really important. It's hundreds of pages, so my friends haven't read it all.
Yeah.
But they read the main 42 recommendations. Especially for our young Pasifika who grew up in homes and in our families that don't like talking about the benefit, but grew up being dependent on it. For us, it indicated a huge shift towards dignity and people-centered policy. But that was our same feeling towards the mental health inquiry, which gives a lot of hope. I think both of those reports really indicate the need to center people in policy.
So it's really important work, but I've just often people say young people are not involved in politics. You know, not many people are like you in primary school watching the Young Guns, which had in our previous talent where you talked about watching Jacinda and Simon in the Young Guns program at breakfast. But is it true that young people are not politically informed or doesn't want to get involved?
I think our young people in our rangatahi are really passionate about community and about social justice.
Yeah.
But I think one of the biggest things is that our country fails in civic participation and education. So our young people actually don't know how to connect those issues that they're so passionate with politics.
With politics.
But if, you know, for those of us who know about politics, you would be able to talk for hours about it. But we know that those issues are all interconnected and that they are politics. Seeing it like that, seeing it in a more like holistic worldview, I would say young people are really passionate about politics. They're really passionate about identity.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing with our generation, our Pacific generation especially. We have the privilege of being vocal and having this understanding and this anger at the institution as well, and this passion that comes out. So I think our young people are really passionate, but they just need the accessibility and the education to understand it.
Okay, great. So let's come to the well-being budget in terms of Pacific, because you spoke about being proud of all 42 recommendations, but in particular you noted Pacific in terms of something that you were proud of. So one of the announcement was from the Minister for Pacific People, Honourable Aupisto Sua William Seal, talked about $20 million to set up a Pacific language unit by the Ministry for Pacific People. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm really inspired by this well-being budget.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was filled with so much hope. But I think it's important to acknowledge that this is just a start.
It's a start.
It's the beginning. We're starting to prioritise well-being. And I talked to one of my friends and I told them this is so important because we're starting to address the institutional problems that are affecting our most marginalised, you know, our poor, our Māori communities and our Pasifika communities.
Yeah.
So my friend and myself, we cried because it was huge to have the government really set this precedent that Pasifika people matter.
Yeah.
And I think in a really strengths-based way, they're acknowledging the effects of colonisation and how hard it's been for our people to retain languages with these Eurocentric standards of success. And I think we're moving towards this reclaiming and this renaissance of Pacific languages, which is really cool.
Absolutely. The same feedback I got from people, Pacific people in Papakura and Tāmaki, who said to me, it's the first time that we have Pacific as a priority.
Yeah.
It's five priority, and Pacific is just there with Māori.
Yeah.
So they said that it was the first time of just acknowledging that. And some people are happy with just seeing us that, but now we're getting into the details.
Yeah.
Right? So we talked about the $20 million to set up the language unit. There was another announcement by the Honourable Jenny Salisa, the Associate Minister for Education. She talked about, $27 million for education, teaching Pacific languages or informing. There's a package there called Tapasa. It's about teaching people who are teaching Pacific learners about Pacific cultural competencies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of that? Because I went to school here in New Zealand. Yeah. I know it was so many years ago. And recently you did, and the teachers didn't have an understanding of that. So this is will enable teachers to have an understanding of the kids they've got in front of them. Yeah. What's your view on that support that the education system is getting?
I think it's really important. Mm. For me, I'm really glad that this money is being put into places like BusFika people, but I think it's how the money's going to be used.
Yeah.
I think with any budget, no matter who it is, there's always wastage, but I think it's important to empower the organisations and the people who are really passionate about our people. Mm. I think when it comes to ensuring that people are culturally competent, I think it's really important that people have cultural humility.
Yeah.
I think we're moving towards that beyond the competency, but you're right, we need to get competency first before there's any humility. But I think learning that competency and humility, I think we really need to learn about our Pacific history.
Mm.
Because that's not just us as the Pacific Islands. Mm. New Zealand is in the Pacific.
Mm.
We need to be learning about our Pacific history. Mm. I think everyone in New Zealand should know about the Dawn Raid, should know about, you know, Black Saturday, should know about the Mau movement. All of those really pivotal events and interactions between New Zealand and the Pacific Islands and, you know, and even Free West Papua.
Mm.
So I think it's really important to decolonize the curriculum as well as the way that it's taught. And I'm really hopeful, I think, that'll happen with this. But I think that's really important for us to teach Pacific history.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I have just come back on a Pacific mission. Well, I joined the Right Honourable Winston Peters, our Minister for Foreign Affairs, and the Honourable Aupito Sua William Seal, and we went the Honourable Aupito Sua William Seal, who is the Minister for Pacific People. We went to the Solomons and we went to Vanuatu, and despite the many languages spoken in the Solomon Islands, we were greeted in English 99% of the time. The language used was English, and the same thing for Vanuatu. 99% of the time was spoken in English. But really, when you look at it, they are a young democracy, a country. They've been 40 years that they've been independent from their previous power, which was we all know, which was the United Kingdom. So it is similar in terms of the need for languages and cultures to as an identity for young people, not just young people, but for the future of a nation, eh? So that's great that you're saying that, and then you're involving the rest of the Pacific in our conversation, because they are our neighbours.
Mm.
Yeah, and I know that here in New Zealand, some our young people are not, we may not think that we are in a privileged position compared to the rest of the Pacific. And when I was sitting there, I was thinking, if only the young people in New Zealand know that that there is 80% unemployment in the Solomon. And most of the people unemployed are young people leaving high school. And if only they knew that this is happening here and how they can help. So in terms of the well-being in New Zealand, how do you see young Pacific people here in Aotearoa supporting the region, the Pacific region?
I think I see a lot of my peers are really involved with what's happening in the homelands, especially my Tongan peers like Asena, who went on the trip as well, and Elizabeth, who's in Tonga from Australia, where she schooled there. So I think we're trying to break the cycle, I think, with our generation of moving away in the diaspora and just staying there. I think a lot of people are wanting to move back to the homelands and give back. But what I've seen a lot is a lot of people come over from the islands to study here and then head back. A lot of my friends have that in mind. But I think climate change is one of the biggest, is the biggest issue affecting our people, because, you know, we can't have well-being if we don't have a place to live, which, and I'm really glad that the Auckland Council announced that it's a crisis.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, and I'd like to see that happen everywhere else other than Auckland. But of course, everything has to happen in Auckland first.
The capital of the Pacific. Sorry, everyone. This morning I joined the mayor, Phil Goff, in terms of planting the millionth tree.
Yeah.
In terms of Auckland Council's contribution to the climate, slowing down the warming, climate change. Yeah. So. What else should we talk about? We've talked about what out there in the youth world. What are young people saying about the wellbeing budget? What are they saying?
So young people who have the opportunity to go to uni, who are engaged in politics, you know, they're really happy with it, I think.
Yeah.
But then again, my friends, we're in our kind of bubble of progressive.
Yeah.
We're in our progressive
You're now in a privileged group who are at their tertiary education.
Yeah, you know, but we're also very left, you know. We're in this kind of very, and we're very community. We're very about people and people-centered, like mana-enhancing policy.
Yeah.
Whereas I do have some friends who lean more on the right, who are really concerned about the economy.
Yeah.
You know, it's the commerce students, and I don't want to minimize their kind of stresses about that, because they're still young people as well, and they still have worries. So their worries are probably around more of the economy, and I think they're just very affirmed in their kind of rock star economy narrative that has been perpetuated and not good for our people for so long. But that's the demographic that benefits from that kind of policy. But I think those of us who grew up or who have grown up in this kind of shift that has meant a lot of policies are more punitive and harder to grow up in. And housing as well. Those of us who grow up in housing without insulation, we're really happy with this budget.
Yeah.
And that it's an awesome start.
Because it is really about a GNA. The people who are what we could call, who are rich and materialistically, they came from a place. There was a journey they got to get there.
Yeah.
And I probably, if I have a good guess, it wasn't that journey started from a place of not me having a lot of things.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to also talk to you about is that, do you all speak English when you're having your conversation?
Yeah, we all speak English.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think that speaks to privilege, but it also speaks to families prioritizing English. And I think my parents were like that too. They could speak Samoan, but for them it was really important for us to thrive in this world, in this Western world. We had to be able to speak really eloquently.
Yeah.
So I think my friends and I are in a time where we're really reclaiming our languages. You know, we've grown up, you know, immersed in our culture, but you never fully understand. And as you know, with the Tonga culture as well, you never understand the depth and the beauty of your culture without your language.
Yeah.
So we're a part of this kind of reclaiming and just acknowledging how important our languages are. But yeah, my friends, we're really happy about the wellbeing budget.
So what about, I'm sorry, you were talking, but I know that we're not at the time, we've got seven minutes, so I'll just cut to some awesome questions. Okay, so we as a government is saying we're taking mental health seriously.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that's really important. That's something that affects every person in New Zealand, no matter who you are. But in particular, just because I'm Pasifika, for our community, it's so important, especially for our young men.
Yeah.
Toxic masculinity is so rife.
Yeah.
Our boys are so silent. They don't like talking about their problems. And I think it's really important. A lot of really key things were touched on in the mental health inquiry, which is especially for our LGBTQ community, which are really important.
Yeah.
But I think those kind of narratives should be told by people in the rainbow community. I just, for me as an ally, just want to offer you and support in any way I can. But mental health is really important, you know, whether you're in uni and you're just overly stressed, and like the stress of not only having exams for yourself, but your family and like all of their expectations, it's heavy.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important, like that mental health is being deemed as a health issue, because it's health shouldn't just be physical. You know, it's spiritual and it's mental as well.
Yeah. So we understand that the government is setting taking mental health seriously, injecting this amount of investment into setting up services to provide mental health. If you had something to say about the setting up, where the places those mental health services are provided, as a young person, I'm connected to Māngere and within West Auckland, studying at Central Auckland, what do you think? You know, because in Wellington, we could just be sitting there and just thinking that this is a good idea, but what would young people think?
Yeah. I think it's really important that these mental health services and organisations and outreach are created by and for communities, because as you know, something that's set up in Papakura wouldn't work in Remuera, you know, and that's just the honest truth. So it needs to be made by the community, by the demographic, by the young people in the area, and it needs to be really authentic and really grassroots. When that consultation and when that creation happens. So it really needs to be informed by the people who are affected most and the people who are being aimed at these kind of services. So I think it's really important that organisations are being empowered that actually work, but don't just work to tick a box, that work sustainably for young people, to actually support them holistically and in a way that can actually ensure consistent well-being.
Oh, thank you, Latavia. I'm just aware of our time. So we've talked about the sense of awareness that you have in terms of from a very young age, you've been politically aware, and your journey, you've travelled in an area where you deemed others were privileged and less privileged than you, and that you're now on this journey on tertiary education. You're involved, your opinion has been heard in terms of the Welfare Expert Advisory Group. You've had a part in that. What do you hope to contribute to New Zealand?
I actually don't really know yet. I think that's a privilege too, to just have, I'm so lucky to have so many options.
Yeah, but you're already contributing. You're contributing. Yeah. But the thing is that some people might say, okay, at the end of all of this, what's the New Zealand? What's Latavia doing in 10 years' time?
I want to be in a place where I'm impacting people. And I really want to be in a place where I'm impacting families in poverty, whatever that looks like, we'll see. It's for me right now, it kind of looks either public sector or NGO spaces. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I think because we've had a conversation previously, because you're one of my mentors, where you've said to do a vision board, and I have done. I did a Pinterest vision board, and for me, what that looked like was being in a place in either NGO or public sector where I can have autonomy, where I can choose what I'm doing, but where I can create relationships with people and help break the cycle of poverty in some way. I think I've got a few years to figure out what that looks like exactly. But that's where I see myself, and I see myself in a New Zealand that prioritizes our families.
Okay, thank you, Latavia. Thank you for that insight. Right, we are just about out of time. Your chance, the next 2 minutes, just to share what you would like our many listeners to hear from Latavia.
I just like to give a shout out to Young Minis Aotearoa, Auckland. They do some incredible work. I'm actually heading there after this because we're making some food packages for the homeless.
Okay.
So Minis Aotearoa.
So Young Minis.
Yeah, Young Minis.
Yeah.
So it comes under, if you look at it on Facebook, Minis Youth Aotearoa or Minis Youth Auckland. So they come under St. Vincent de Paul. So I've been volunteering with them since I was in year 12 in high school. And they do mahi with prisons, Auckland City Mission, Auckland Hospital, you know, just a lot of incredible work around Auckland. So if you'd like to be involved in doing that and some face-to-face in the community, just hit us up on Facebook. We'd love to see you.
Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, yes, it's Well with Anahila. We've just had a conversation with young Latavia Taiopo Nairi June Anastasia Tuasia Tautai, and she's just shared some insights into her world as a 21-year-old living and growing in here in Aotearoa, especially in Tamaki Makaurau. And if you're needing some more information, we will set it up on Facebook to get in touch with Latavia. But if you still didn't get that message, you can always email me on anahila@parliament.govt.nz or call us on 0800 Anahila, and we'll get that information for you. Well, that was our our young leader, Latavia. And thank you very much for having me today. That was Well With Anahila. Have an awesome week. Malo, au pito, ka kite anō.